Good morning, everyone. Isn't it a beautiful morning? It is early, very early. And something cool that it's weird that I never saw this before. We call this our Easter sunrise service. And it wasn't until yesterday that first time I saw sunrise, spelled S-O-N, rise. So that was pretty clever that I saw that. But we thank you all for being here today. Thank you for our visitors and our online listeners for being with us on this wonderful Easter service. What I'd like to do to start off with is start off with a prayer. You guys don't have to turn to it. I'll just read it to you. But this comes from 320 in our hymnal, so please pray with me. Almighty God, through Jesus Christ, you overcame death and open to us the gate of everlasting life. Grant that we, who celebrate the day of our Lord's resurrection, may, by the renewing of your Spirit, arise from the death of sin to the life of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So rejoice to know that Christ is risen. Amen? Amen. Wonderful. I hope you all had your coffee today. But we're going to have a lighthearted service. It's going to be okay. So we are here today to celebrate the world truths of Jesus Christ. And we are here to celebrate that 2,000 plus years ago, God entered into our human history as the incarnated Son of God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And in doing so, a way was paved for all God's children to have an opportunity to be rescued from the clutches of evil, redeemed in his shining light, and restored in God's holy image. And in that time, 2,000 plus years ago, mankind, including all of his flaws, has attached some bizarre and unusual traditions to many of the Christian celebrated days and different times of the year. Some of them can be great reminders, but many can skew God's word, or worse yet, they end up omitting God altogether from the actual true meanings. So specifically, we're talking about Easter today, and you have probably noticed and understand the many things that I am referencing. We have the stuffed animals, Peter Cottontail, we have the candy that comes in all shapes and sizes, and of course, we have our Easter eggs. Now, normally these things are harmless other than the fact that they can put a dent in your wallet or the candy makes you fat. But what causes the most harm is when those material things replace the fundamental meanings altogether. The cross is effectively being taken down and a rabbit put into its place. So many of you may be thinking, what are we supposed to do about it? Get rid of Easter Bunny, the candy, and all of the decorations that we've collected over the many years? Absolutely not. But we see, with the confusion of Christmas, I believe we need to parallel these traditions with the truths and their actual meanings. So now, as you can see from the scripture that was read today, today's passage isn't about the Easter Bunny and his compulsion to hide eggs for children. Those things do not grace the pages of the Bible. Nevertheless, Easter eggs, I want to share with you, they actually play an important role in the celebrated day of our Lord's resurrection. History tells us that the egg is one of the oldest symbols used to teach in the faiths of Christianity and Judaism. For those in the Jewish faith, and specifically we're talking about the Jewish Passover Seder meal, hard-boiled eggs are used to represent the possibility of the new life God presented them when he rescued the Jewish people from slavery. The idea of the represented new life became a Christian symbol. A new life by the means of the resurrection and following salvation. Meaning, just as we can observe an embryonic life exiting the shell of an egg, so should the church observe the new life granted to us when Jesus emerged from the shell of his tomb. Now also, the formation in life, of life, in an egg, can be compared to the individual spiritual formation that we have in our own lives. Those of you who know God, those of you who love God, and those of you who follow God are all waiting for the same thing. We are waiting to experience the house of God and fullness of His love and everlasting life. And that, my dear friends, is the day we are hatched. Up until then, we are growing more and more into the image of God and to follow in His footsteps. Now, we've talked about the egg, and there's actually another tradition that has to do with coloring the eggs. Back in that time, they did not have every spring color under the rainbow. They did not have dyes and paints to decorate their eggs as we do today with our children. Back then, they only used one color. Does anybody know what that is? Red. Very good. And so do you think, since red was one of the main colors, that that didn't have its own meaning? Of course it did, just like everything else. When you think the color red and pertaining to Jesus, especially in this point of year, what comes to mind? Blood of Christ, exactly. And so the color red on the outside of the egg represented the blood that Jesus shed for us the day He was raised on the cross. And I also want to share with you something on a side note. Those of you who know the story of Passover, the red Easter egg should take on a whole new meaning. And why is this? Because red was the color that the doorposts were to be painted so that the angel of death would pass over the house. And why red? Because even in the early church, everyone wanted to know that it was the blood of Jesus that saves us from the penalty and power of sin and evil. So that is where we get the introduction of the Easter egg on our Resurrection Sunday. Though we are not Jewish here and now, it cannot be forgotten that Jewish teachings laid the foundation on which our Christianity was built. And if I can request anything from all of you, it is that we make Easter more and more about the lamb and less about the bunny. So I wanted to share that with you because I feel like there was more parts of that too. There was other things that the yolk, the white part and the shell all have parts of God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus in them, in their teachings too, but I wasn't going to go into that. So the reason, I have actually broken this up into two parts. I had a whole other section to this, but this Maundy Thursday that we had, and since we're having communion today, I thought it to be more important that we talk about the communion part of things and how it pertains to what we're talking about today. So this past Maundy Thursday, we had a wonderful service at Woolrich United Methodist Church, and it was a night when we got to celebrate the day in which Christ broke bread with His disciples. And this is the day that gave birth to what we know as communion. Deliver us from evil was the part of the Lord's Prayer that we were on. But being a Maundy Thursday service, there was a part that led us to talk about communion. And this is why I'm bringing it up now. And since a few of you from Phelps heard it, I'd like to share the rest of it with you. Or at least the part that pertains to today. So we have communion. Communion is the outward representation of the inward acknowledgement that Christ's body was broken and the blood was shed in order for us to live the lives that we do. Or as the United Methodist Church puts it, it is an act of worship ordained by Christ and is a means of faith. Next, we broke down something that you normally say during communion, which is Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ has come again. But since it is Easter, we really only have to reference one today, and that is Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. And I told everybody there, I see a troubling attitude when it comes to the communion service. Everyone displays this eerie silence and everybody is straight-faced, and many of people have their heads down as if he was passing away right before us. Communion is not a memorial service for a dead Jesus. Communion is a time to celebrate the resurrection. He never asked or wanted you to bear his sorrow. And in fact, he tells us many, many times to give our sorrows to him. So Easter, the resurrection, communion, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, is not a time when we're allowed to wallow in our own guilt. Actually, another word for communion is thanksgiving. So as you are nourished by the breaking of the bread, I want you to open your eyes and recognize that Christ is right here with you. He's in our congregation. He is in our community. And he is in our world. So do not let the evil of sorrow consume you, and give thanks. Amen. Wonderful.